Australia will join the US and UK in building hypersonic missiles that can travel at least five times the speed of sound. The commitment, which is made under the AUKUS pact, is estimated to be a major boost to national security as it will shore up Australia's defences against both China and Russia. The decision has attracted criticism from China's UN ambassador Zhang Jun, who says that the measures could fuel another crisis like the Ukrainian conflict. Andrew Herlinger asked Professor Stefan Frühling, the acting head of the Strategic and Defence Study Centres, on what sort of reach these missiles have and what ramifications could their development bring.
It's important to realise that hypersonic just means that it flies at faster than 5 times the speed of sound. That sounds a lot, but actually intercontinental ballistic missiles, which are now a 60-something-year-old technology, actually fly a lot faster than the systems that we're talking about now. There's also a very wide range of technologies that are captured under this label of hypersonic. To give you one example, there was a few weeks ago a lot of reporting about Russia using a hypersonic weapon in the context of the Ukraine war. And that is true, but if you look closely, that weapon was just a standard short-range ballistic missile that they hang under a fighter aircraft and launch while that fighter aircraft is in flight in a straight line. So it's a different way of using a very old and standard weapon system, not some of those more kind of futuristic or certainly more exotic technologies that we are discussing, for example, in the context of intercontinental systems. So the Russians and Chinese are interested in hypersonic gliders, for example, in order to reach intercontinental ranges for their nuclear weapons. Australia and the U.S. are more interested in different technologies, scramjets in particular, that allow us to build long-range, for example, anti-ship missiles, but with significantly less range, more in the range of 2,000 kilometers rather than 5,000 to 10,000 kilometers.
And why were these hypersonic missiles deployed in Australia? Why are they getting built here?
Look, I think that there's a number of issues here. I mean, first, at the moment, they're still under development. There is a long-standing Australian-US cooperative program and for developing these missiles, which is now being expanded to include the UK. As I mentioned, the interest for Australia in operating these missiles ultimately goes to giving the ADF equipment that allows it to conduct its mission even in a conflict with a major industrial power like China in our region. There is a separate issue about why to build missiles in Australia. Hypersonic missiles are not going to be the first ones that are going to be built in Australia. There are more traditional missiles that are likely to be built soon in country here. And that ultimately goes to concerns about the availability of such munitions in conflict, that what we see in Ukraine, for example, admittedly in relation to short-range anti-air and anti-tank missiles, is that modern conflict consumes an inordinate amount of very advanced munitions. And having the ability to produce such munitions here in Australia is an important element of preparing ourselves for the ability for future conflicts.
And the Chinese UN ambassador has been disappointed with the decision, warning that it could create a situation similar to Ukraine. Is that a reasonable response?
I don't think that's a reasonable response, but it's not an unexpected response. I mean, it's kind of par for the course for the Chinese to consider any kind of military cooperation between the U.S. and its allies as destabilizing Cold War thinking and so on and so forth. I wouldn't put much store by this. In reality, this decision is just about extending an existing cooperation between the U.S. and Australia to the U.K. It's not actually even a decision about deployment yet. And I think we can kind of consider that part of the political smokescreen that the Chinese throw over U.S. allied defense cooperation in general, rather than as any specific, let alone legitimate concern.
And there's also been a report that the announcement is coming with an investment into undersea drones. What would they be used for exactly?
Yeah, that is correct. The AUKUS partnership, although there was a lot of focus, obviously, on the decision to help Australia acquire nuclear-powered submarines. The AUKUS partnership between the UK, Australia, and the US is much broader and considers a whole range of advanced technologies, and underwater drones are certainly one element of that. The technology, in terms of the endurance and the independence of drones, has advanced not just for air drones that fly in the air, but also for drones that go under the sea. And so obviously they provide a means for extending the reach of undersea operations into areas that submarines cannot go physically or that are too risky for submarines, or, for example, to allow us to establish a sensor presence, a much more persistent sensor presence in underwater areas than would be possible with a limited fleet of submarines.
Professor Stefan Fluling, the acting head of the Strategic and Defence Studies Centre, speaking there with Andrew Herlinger.